There's just so much more to hear.
Download our podcasts at DubaiEye1038.com.
Welcome to The Grill. It's just after 4 o'clock on a Saturday afternoon. All roads lead to Barasti, where the game is always on. Talking of games, lots to look forward to over the next 3 hours of our live broadcast from Barasti. You've got Wolves against Leicester as your early kickoff in the Premier League. That one's on the big screen down here at Barasti. And then a whole host of games to look forward to from 7 o'clock. We'll have live commentary of one of those games for you from 7 o'clock this evening here on the show. Roma against Torino is an early kickoff over in Italy as well, so I'll keep an eye on that one for you. We've got live cricket down in South Africa. There is Champions and Challenge Cup rugby for you. Australian Open is well underway into the second of the middle weekend of that tournament. And of course, as you've been hearing up until now, we've got action just down the road in Abu Dhabi, where it is the Abu Dhabi HSBC Championship. In fact, we're going to be down there again. We'll be joining up with Robbie and the rest of the team down there in just a little while. So stay tuned as we cover all options and tick all the boxes when it comes to sport, and as always asking you to have your say as well. You can text us now on 4001, you can have your say online, and equally you can get in touch via the handle, which is at Dubai iSport. This is The Grill, live from Barasti.
This is The Grill. Tweet the team at Dubai iSport.
The boys taking one for the team today up here on The Grill are Mr. Ross Crist and Mr. Mark Archer, and we've all wrapped up warm. It's that day, isn't it, Ross? There's always one a season for us, isn't there?
Yeah, we just spoke about it off air. It's our cold day of the year. It's our one cold day of the year. So I guess we're doing it right if 364 of the other days are all pretty good. But it is a little chilly out here at Barasti, so if you are going to come join us for some of the football games today, make sure you bring your jumper and join us up here up the rooftop garden. If it is cold, you know it's hockey season, so we'll be looking at some of the things happening back home in the NHL. Also, we're going to be bringing some of the boys from the Emirates Hockey League. I got to go to one of their games earlier this week. You would be amazed at how many people watch these things at the Dubai Mall. Because you're forced to watch it. You're right there.
Yeah, yeah.
So thousands of people are watching a hockey game. I'm not sure they all know what they're watching.
Yeah, yeah.
But oh my goodness, phenomenal time. We have a little matter in the NFL. The conference finals going on. NBA was in your neck of the woods, Tom. It was the NBA London games. Also, we have UFC Fight Night Dillashaw going against Kajeo. This will be a big one in Brooklyn. We also have the Aussie Open. A little bit happening in the boxing, and we have a local race that's going to be happening just over the border in Oman that we'll get to talk about a little bit later in the show. So I'm really looking forward to today's show.
I know that we've got Mark Archer. He likes to talk weather. I mean, well, just in terms of stateside at the moment, they've had a dumping of snow, haven't they? A couple of the states,
haven't they? Yeah, yeah. We would be extremely underdressed, even though we're wrapped up right now back in Pittsburgh.
One place that's not been very cold is, of course, down under. Did I read yesterday, Archie, that they had their hottest day on record or something down in Sydney or Melbourne yesterday? They've had a hot spell down there.
Right in the middle of the summer down under in Australia and New Zealand. Yeah, it's been a good summer to date. So plenty of sporting action, as we know, from that part of the world. The Australian Open tennis is ongoing. They're at the halfway stage now, so the business end this week is going to get underway. We've seen one-day international cricket yesterday, the MCG, where India wrapped up that one-day series against the Aussies 2-1. Pretty comprehensive victory in that. And, good time to be down in that neck of the woods, Tom. But, yeah, you say it is a bit chillier today. Looks like you're off skiing after the show. You've got your ski jacket on or your gilet or whatever that fancy word is for that little vest of yours. And
this is gilet, man.
You've wrapped up very well.
All right. We've got live cricket for you. We're going to keep an eye on that one. And there's rugby a little later on, isn't there?
Yeah, there's European Champions Cup action today. Six fixtures today in the Champions Cup. Early kickoffs at 5 p.m. UAE time. Cardiff Blues are hosting Lyon. Saracens at home to Glasgow Warriors. Later kickoffs this afternoon or the early parts of this evening in Paris. Racing 92 take on Scarlets. And Leicester Tigers will entertain Ulster. And then the late kickoffs around 9:30 UAE time. Munster will play Exeter Chiefs. That would be a cracking match. And Casts host your very beloved Gloucester. Six matches also in the European Challenge Cup. So plenty of rugby coming from the Northern Hemisphere. We're getting very close, Tom, only a couple of weeks away, to the Six Nations. The 2019 Six Nations action will get underway. Many of the squads were named during the week. Some interesting revelations there. Eddie Jones we'll be listening to later in the show about his squad. And obviously those coaches with an eye now only 9 months away to a Rugby World Cup, really trying to fine-tune their preparations, get their squads inked in for that trip to Japan.
Lots of sport to talk about. Obviously, one of the big sporting events at the moment is the Australian Open. Any big surprises there over the last 24 hours, Ross Crist?
I guess Andy Murray, you know, going out in the first round. We do know he's playing injured, but I kind of expected to make it past the first round, but yeah, he came in unseeded into this one going into it. But a first-round exit for, I guess, a guy from the UK. Are you sad about it?
Look, I just don't think he should have been playing in the tournament anyway. He's not fit. He obviously is not fit because of the condition that he's got, the hip problem that he's got. He admitted that before the game. But also we saw that he was not mentally fit as well. He was very emotional going into this tournament. The writing is on the wall at the moment. And Archer, we got any clearer as to, because there was chat, wasn't there, whether he was arming and arming, he's going to take a few days to see whether he's going to have this operation or not. Do we know if he is having the operation or?
I don't think we've heard officially. Look, he made a smart decision not making any sort of emotional decision after he got knocked out of the Australian Open. Obviously, he had a very emotional press conference a few days before where he basically came out and says he won't last past Wimbledon, maybe his last event. This may be his last event. He may not never play again now. So we saw a lot more news during the week about other tennis players who had similar ailments, similar injuries, and have dealt with it and got over the injury. But he basically said now he needs another operation. He's not sure whether that will succeed. Then he's got to go through a whole rehab program again to get fit for somewhere like Wimbledon. So he's struggling with sort of a chronic pain. It's probably never going to go away now, and he's just got to try and manage that factor really in his life and his sport. So it's tough to see a guy of his ilk not go out under his own terms. We discussed it last week, and that's a massive shame because he's still got some pretty good years ahead of him, given that the likes of Roger Federer at age 38 and his era of genre of guys like Novak and like Rafa Nadal are still playing at the best of their ability and best at the top of their games, really. So he's going to be probably missed from when he does disappear either over the next few months. So it is a shame, but we are looking forward to some cracking action from the Australian Open. I can tell you this match in the women's side of the draw, top seed Simona Halep, or who did she play next in the last 16? None other than Serena Williams, because Simona Halep got past Venus Williams, her sister, earlier, and that match is a cracker. In some ways, it's unfortunate it's come at this stage of the tournament, last 16. It's one of those matches you like to see in the semi-final or the final, but given the nature of seedings and the way these things work out, Simona Halep versus Serena Williams is a massive match in the world of tennis. Obviously, Serena trying to extend that record. I think 24 majors she's got. It's phenomenal. Then on the men's side, I think we've seen the big names progress relatively unscathed, relatively untroubled into that second week now. Novak Djokovic got a win overnight against Denis Shapovalov. And then we've seen the likes of Federer sort of cruise his way, Rafa Nadal doing what he has to do to get to that second week where all the action really kicks off now. The seeds all come through. So I'm looking forward to the second week of the Aussie Open.
Bob Bryan coming out today and telling Andy Murray his advice is to get the hip surgery. Bob Bryan had the same exact hip ailment, and he's the first tennis player to come on back with this type of surgery, and he sat out last year, and he saw his brother team up with Jack Sock and actually win Wimbledon, that doubles title. Pretty remarkable story there. But he came out, you know, he was 23. This guy has 23 Grand Slams, so he knows a bit about tennis, yeah. And he says you can still play tennis at a championship-level caliber after having this type of hip surgery. So maybe these guys coming out and talking to Andy Murray, telling him, you know, their thoughts. He just certainly seemed at his post-match interview like a man that didn't quite seem ready, settled in his retirement. Yeah. So I wouldn't be surprised if we heard in about 18 months' time, Andy Murray comeback match.
That's it, yeah.
Some type of ATP type thing.
In some way, he doesn't just do that. Go and take a bit of time away from the game. I know that, you know, time is against him at the moment, but the evergreen Roger Federer has shown that by managing his schedule and taking time away from the sport, he's being reinvigorated. And maybe that's what Andy needs, just to you know, give the opportunity of playing at other big tournaments in the future. Just take a bit of time away from the sport.
Yeah, and this is one of those sports where you can't afford to do that. You can't afford to take a year off and come on back. I guess I pose this question to you, Tom, being our UK resident. Say he did play his last tennis match right now. What's the state of UK tennis without him right now?
Well, yeah, not great, because the man sort of waiting in the wings, Kyle Edmund, who is the current British number one because of Andy's problems at the moment. He was on court before Andy Murray, but what, not for very long, because he got knocked out in the first round as well. And you haven't seen a number of, you know, there's always been a bit of chat about British stars sort of coming through. Kyle Edmund had a great season last season, but he hasn't really sort of kicked on from that one. So I think Andy Murray is still very much the standard bearer of tennis in the United Kingdom. Sir Andy Murray, yeah, for that point. And so there is responsibility. But then again, like we were saying last week, I think he's one of those men that is going to give back to the sport that has given him so much as well. And I wouldn't be surprised to see him coaching a future British tennis star, or certainly investing a lot of his money and his expertise into forwarding or grassroots tennis programs over in the UK in years to come. But we'll keep an eye on that one. We'll keep an eye on the tennis in general. And we'll also keep an eye on the early kickoff in the Premier League. It's Wolves against Leicester for you in just a few moments' time. Around about 10 minutes' time, it will be kicking off. Wolves changed up. A wing-back, Matt Doherty, misses out. He's only on the bench. Willy Boley is suspended.
This is The Grill, live from Barasti. Enjoy your weekend with a 99 dirham main and a hot lunch combo.
Archie, Ross and myself here at Barasti taking one for the team, the rest of the team down in the nation's capital. We're going to be going down there in just a few moments' time. Mark Archer's going to tell us what's happening in the cricket first.
Yeah, first one day international from Port Elizabeth in South Africa. It's the Proteas hosting Pakistan. Five-match ODI series, of course, these teams trying to hone their one-day efforts ahead of their World Cup later this year in the UK. I can tell you for Pakistan, they've got the return of two experienced old heads in Shoaib Malik and Mohammad Hafiz. And South Africa, on the other hand, have introduced some new names into the series. Look out for Rassie van der Dusen and Dwayne Olivier. So I can tell you in this match, once I get my up and running, yep, South Africa won the toss. They have elected a bat first. Made a pretty bright and breezy start. 19 of their 50 overs completed. 84 for one. Hashim Amla, 39 not out. And the debutant van der Dusen is yet to score off six deliveries. So South Africa, 84 for one. 19 of their 50 overs gone.
Right, we are. Plenty of live sport to look forward to and live guests as well. But talking of lives, it's time for us to head back down to the nation's capital where we can catch up with the team. No, we can't at the moment. Okay, so we will try and make amends there. We'll try and catch up with them. How are things looking down there at the Gulf at the moment? Shane Lowry, he's had a great start to the tournament, but there's a bit of pressure earlier on today, wasn't
there? Yeah, he had that blitzing, got off to a blitzing start on Wednesday of when, of course, this tournament got underround. He shot 62, one off the course record. He had a birdie putt on the 18th hole, or I think it was, for his for a course record there. But he has stuttered today, Tom. He's only level par through 15 holes. And the man that's done the running and caught up to him, Richard Sterney, the South African, world ranking of 281, is currently 4 under for his round today. He's 18 under par, and after 15 holes, he has a one-shot lead over Shane Lowry going into the final three holes of the day. So it's neck and neck down there at the Abu Dhabi National Course. It's going to be a very dramatic next half an hour. Who will be the winner? Will it be Richard Sterney, currently at 18 under par, or the Irishman Shane Lowry at 17 under par? But yeah, first round of 62, fantastic for him. Richard Sterney's had three very solid rounds in the 60s, 65, 68, and yesterday's 69. So the wind got up yesterday. It was a lot tougher to score. And today, there is also breezy down there, but the scoring was really low the first couple of days. But wonderful event as always, Tom. Plenty of action on the golf course, but plenty happening off it as well.
Yeah, you've been down there the last few days. This is the 14th staging of the tournament, I
14th,
think,
14th edition of the Abu Dhabi HSBC Championship presented by EGA. It's an action-packed field. You've seen the likes of Brooks Koepka there. He's done well. He's finished at 2 under par, 11 under par for his tournament, the world-ranked number 2 player. And, of course, the other big name from the US, Dustin Johnson, had a good round today, 5 under par. He's finished at 9 under par in a tie for 17th. So it's always it's a great leaderboard always in Abu Dhabi. All the big names in the world of golf down there in the nation's capital, and it is going to be a blockbuster finish. Round of the day so far, just scrolling through the leaderboard, the Dutchman, Joost Luiten, has shot a round of 65, 7 under par, and that's good enough to get him up to third. So he's a massive climber on the leaderboard today, but as you say it, they're on the hole 16 now, the two leaders, Richard Sterney and Shane Lowry, and it's Sterney the South African with a one-shot lead over Shane Lowry. So he's been almost wall-to-wall leader first 3 days, going in today with quite a big lead, but really he's only shot level par where Stern is caught up with that round of four under par today to really put the pressure on him. It all went wrong. I was watching on TV before the show. Shane Lowry on the ninth hole today, 10th hole, he drove one, ninth hole to be corrected. He pulled it and he went in the water, so he took a bogey there, and he's just really struggled to get the momentum going that he's had of the first 3 days. So he's really picked the wrong day to have his worst round of the week, but he's still right in the mix there, and he's won some big events before. So let's just see what happens over this closing three holes.
Yeah, he's won the Irish Open as an amateur, I think.
World
Golf Championship.
Yeah, so
he's
won some big events. Currently world ranked at 75th, so he has been higher than that in the four. Another great round today is fellow Richard Stern is having a great round at 4 under par, but Louis Oosthuizen has shot 6 under as well. He's in the clubhouse at 14 under par. That's good enough at the moment for 4th. So he's put together a really solid round today of 66. His bad day was yesterday where he shot a 75. If he could go back and turn that into a decent round yesterday in the 60s, he would be right in the mix as well. And, of course, major winning champion, Louis Oosthuizen. He's one guy who has a great week apart from that round of 75 yesterday.
I've got to keep an eye on this one. You were down there yesterday, Christo. Good event. What about the change in days as well? Obviously, that anomaly this year that started on a Wednesday, so finishes today on a Saturday. Has that worked?
I loved it. Yeah. I didn't notice any difference in terms of crowds at all. In fact, I thought the crowds were a little bit bigger.
Wednesday and Thursday. Yesterday,
big crowd. Definitely a big crowd. And we say it all the time, and I know I just keep harping on it, but to all of our listeners, if you haven't got a chance to go to one of these professional golf events that we get to go to four times a year here out here in the UAE, get out to it. You get right up and close to these golfers. I was about, 10 yards behind Dustin Johnson, seeing him just drill a driver, and boy, can he crank it. But it's amazing. Also, DJ went low today with a 67, finishing his round at 9 under. But it's just amazing how close you get to some of these athletes. Abu Dhabi and the whole entire Abu Dhabi Sports Council, they always put on an excellent, excellent event. I love traveling down to the nation's capital for this European Tour event. Very, very fun time in the tent as well. Mark Archer, yesterday I saw you bouncing around from...
You're on the bouncy castle again, Arch, are you?
I'm always down there.
Moving around from villa to... hospitality to hospitality, doing the rounds?
Busy working, Roscoe, that you know me. Just networking, seeing what's going on there. But no, fantastic event. They have one of the best villages, not just in the UAE in sport, but probably globally at any golf tournament. There's so much to do there for kids. There's a lot of F&B outlets. There's big screens.
No coffee.
Isn't there?
No. I noticed that on Wednesday morning.
Did you need some coffee?
There was no coffee. They've got some great food trucks. They've got some great bits and pieces down there. They've got the whole thing. But there's no coffee.
Pass that suggestion on, Tom.
I had a word with them.
We'll put it straight to the clubhouse manager. One man we should give a shout-out to, because he started from basically going to touch rugby to now it seems like he's Mr. Abu Dhabi Sport, Mr. John Larkins. His whole entire display down there. He's got the rugby. He's got the cricket. He's got the golf, all activations that you can do for free as soon as you get down there. And they're all quite fun and entertaining. You can walk away with a prize. So good work to good old Johnny down there, your fellow Kiwi mate.
The other big thing about the Abu Dhabi HSBC Championship is not just the golfers. Some big names in the world of sport was serenading down there this week. I bumped into our good friend from yesteryear, Freddie Flintoff. He was lurking with intent, Tom. We saw Sir Alistair Cook. We saw Nasser Hussain, MBE. I just want to get the titles right in case they're listening. And the good and the great of English cricket, really there in full force. I know they were doing a lot of work for the Abu Dhabi Cricket Club. They were doing clinics for kids. They were at the cricket club, I think, last night. They were playing in the Pro-Am. So it was good to see Alistair Cook enjoying his retirement. I think him and Nasser Hussain are probably jet-setting across to the West Indies because England start their series over there very imminently. Maybe next week that first test match starts. So they're enjoying their hospitality in the UAE. And Freddie Flintoff was in fine form as ever. He sends his regards to you, Thomas, and he's a man of much more of sporting ilk. I didn't realise he's now the host of Top Gear. Yeah, there we go. All born out of his guest appearances, cameo appearances on Dubai Eye a decade or so ago.
I'm sure that's not the case. Anyway, listen, we will try and reconnect with the golf. We're going to try and get in touch with the boys in just a few moments' time as they call in the finalists. In the meantime, we've got the players out there on the field on the big screen down here at Barasti for an early kickoff in the Premier League. It's Wolves against Leicester. Goals, as and when they happen, will be reported right here on the show.
Oh, it's a fabulous goal!
This is The Grill, live from Barasti, with more sport, the latest headlines, and top debate on Dubai Eye 103.8.
Yeah, we're arching our necks just to have a look on the big screen, because just 3 minutes on the clock and there has been a goal in the early kickoff in the Premier League. It's Wolves taking on Leicester, and it's the home team who have scored the opening goal in the first 3 minutes of this game. It is Wolverhampton Wanderers who lead Leicester City by that one solitary goal. Anyone get the goal scorer?
It's Jota.
Jota. Okay, he has got onto the score. So it's not been a great start by Leicester, because they got a yellow card in the first minute of the game, and conceded a goal in the third minute of the game.
No, you're exactly right there, and we're seeing Leicester counter-attack. But it was a great move by Wolves down the right-hand side. Swinging cross came in, and it was met on the volley from Jota. Flew past Schmeichel in the Leicester goal, and after 4 minutes, Wolverhampton Wanderers won. Leicester City, nil.
Right, well, we'll have more on the football for you as and when, but obviously one of our big focuses throughout the afternoon will be the golf down in Abu Dhabi. Big thanks to Robbie Greenfield, Chris McCarty, Mohammed Bin Salem, and of course Danny Norton, who've all been involved in the broadcast over the weekend. And it's time now with the final pairings out on the course to decide who will be crowned champion in 2019, for us to head back down to Abu Dhabi to catch up with the boys, who can talk us through those final couple of holes. Right, so we will try and get hold of Robbie. We understand the boys are out there. I don't know if we've got a little problem with the connection, but we will sort that one out for you in just a few moments' time. Worry not, though, because there's plenty of action to talk about up here in Dubai as we cast our eyes across sports around the world. What's happening in the cricket, Mark Archer? Let's get a live update there.
Yeah, I can tell you in the cricket, it's the first one-day international over in Port Elizabeth in South Africa, where the home team, the Proteas, are taking on Pakistan. 24 of their 50 overs completed, and South Africa off to a strong start. They won the toss, elected to bat first. They're currently 117 for one. Hashim Amla leading the way, 54 not out off only 57 deliveries. And the new man, Rassie van der Dusen, is currently 16 not out off 23 balls. He's at 2 fours in his innings so far, and they're getting a bit of a partnership going between the two of them. Wicket to four was Hendricks, caught Hassan Ali, bowled Shadeep Khan for 45. So currently South Africa 118 for one, 24.4 of their 50 overs completed their time. I'll bring you bang up to date if any wickets happen over in Port Elizabeth.
Ross Chris, let's go over to you then.
Yeah, well, we like a bit of trivia, don't we?
We love a bit of trivia.
We've been doing some trivia here the last couple of weeks, so we're going to open this up to our listeners. Text us at 4001 or get in touch with us on social media at Dubai Eye Sport. I'm going to open this one up to Tom. I'm going to open this one up to Arch and everyone listening here on the radio. I have played with, ready, David Beckham, Ryan Giggs, Ashley Young, Patrick Vieira, Sol Campbell, Aaron Ramsey, Michael Owen, Steven Gerrard, and Mo Salah. Who am I? I'm going to repeat that one more time for everyone at home. Okay, now keep in mind, you could easily Google this, everybody, so don't be Googling. Don't be a Google warrior here. I'm come back to you at 7 o'clock with the answer. I have played football with David Beckham, Ryan Giggs, Ashley Young, Patrick Vieira, Sol Campbell, Aaron Ramsey, Michael Owen, Steven Gerrard, and Mo Salah. Who am I?
Who are you? Well, we will open that one up to the listeners, and of course we'll get the Brains Trust having a little think about it. I'm sure Chris McCarty will be listening on and jotting down a few numbers there, as will Mr. Robbie Greenfield and Danny Norton. And as they, we can join now live from the Abu Dhabi HSBC Championship.
You certainly can, Tom. Delighted to be down here on the 18th green of this fantastic Abu Dhabi National Golf Course. Alongside me, another Danny. It is Danny Jakubowski. He is the Director of Instruction down here at the Abu Dhabi Golf Club. And he is a man who knows this national course better than any. And I will delightedly introduce you into this conversation now, Danny. And we are heading, my friend, it didn't look like this for a while, but we are heading for quite the crescendo.
Yeah, I mean, it's looking like we could have a playoff, which might be the first in history here, which wouldn't that be exciting?
It certainly would. And I'll put you in the picture, guys, if you haven't already been watching with an eagle eye as to the goings-on on this national course, because what looked like a formality for Shane Lowry, the Irishman, at the start of the day's play, soon turned into a formality for Richard Stearney. I think what we have established, though, as onlookers, is that in golf, there is just no such thing as a formality, because Lowry had a three-shot lead. That then flip-flopped. There was a six-shot swing midway through the round. Stearney, Richard Stearney, who, by the way, has not won in nearly 6 years out on tour, then had his own four-shot lead, and now it's level pegging, Danny, and they're coming up 17, the difficult par four, with just the par five awaiting us. I got to say, at the moment, playoff is probably the most likely outcome.
Well, I mean, in reality, with the pin positions and the wind today, par-par would be probably a pretty good finish on 17-18. I mean, we're looking at a very distinct possibility of a playoff.
And of course, if that happens, we will stay with it until the bitter end. We've never had a playoff down here in 14 editions at the Abu Dhabi HSBC Championship, but there's always a first time for everything. These players, by the way, guys, on the 17th hole, so they've got two holes left to play. Richard Stearney, 3 under for his round. A little background on him, 6 times a winner on the European Tour. He's battled injury, he's battled arthritis, he is 37 years of age, and he is having some kind of rekindling, of rejuvenation in his golfing career. Because the weird thing about this is, Danny, he had no form coming into this event. I've been looking at his results in the first part, or the latter couple of months of last year. He hasn't played since appearing in his native South Africa back in the middle of December. He was missing 3 cuts out of the last 6. He wasn't finishing in the top 10. There's nothing to suggest. I mean, you're a man that knows golf extremely well, as we watch Richard Stearney on the 17th hole come up a little bit short. That's going to be a fiddly one coming up with a chip shot there to the 17th green. Again, the wind seeming to fool him. But as we so often see with golf, form just goes out of the window and he just wakes up. He's got off on the right side of the bed this week.
Yeah, well, I mean, he's always been referred to as quite a good ball striker and always sort of very underrated. So I think if he has a good finish here, obviously with a win, then he could have a career season quite late in his career.
Shane Lowry is signalling to the gallery that he is missing this right. And oh my word, dear oh dear, coming out of the bunker on the 17th. It's a difficult hole. It's playing into the teeth of what I can tell you guys is quite a strong wind here at the Abu Dhabi National Course. Lowry giving that signal, pointing and holding his arm out to the right-hand side that the ball was missing right of target. And Danny, put us into the picture as to how difficult this one is going to be. Neither player on the green, but at the moment, in terms of position, advantage Stearney, because Lowry has a very tight shot.
You got it. I mean, it's definitely advantage to Stearney. And if Lowry can get this up and down, I mean, I think a fantastic chip would be maybe to 10 feet if he's lucky. And really depends on the lie as well, whereas Stearney is just pretty much straight up the green.
We are watching riveted here at the Abu Dhabi National Course. Last couple of groups out on the course. A bit of a strange day. One of those days that you do get once every few months in the winter period. It's overcast. The wind is blowing. The sun is trying to peek through, but has not quite managed it over the course of the afternoon. And this final group marching down the 17th hole, 480-odd yards into the teeth of a wind. Shane Lowry trying to win for the first time since, I believe, 2015. He's a winner of the WGC Bridgestone tournament, his only PGA Tour success. He won the Irish Open back in 2009 as an amateur, Danny. Imagine that. Imagine winning a tournament where you could pocket 250,000, 300,000 euros and you don't get to keep a cent.
I know. I think he's had a pretty good career since then, though. I know he's won a WGC event, hasn't he?
He certainly has. He has won the Bridgestone event over in the US, which, of course, is a co-sanctioned event with the European Tour. He's looking to pick up his 4th win on either tour. So Richard Stearney, he's been in the doldrums. Shane Lowry, he's been in the doldrums. He walks up to his ball now on the 17th. As we await here by the 18th green, we're watching on the big screen. Great coverage here. The hospitality, I might add. The two decks of hospitality, which seems to go from strength to strength. I have taken advantage of certainly the breakfast buffet here at the championship for the last couple of days. So thank you very much for your kind hospitality to the championship. But it is packed to the rafters, Danny, and I think benefiting from a Saturday finish.
Oh, isn't it great? I mean, just look at the galleries around here today. And I think hopefully this format of having a Friday-Saturday finish is here to stay.
what we're going to do, guys, we're going to see this hole played out. We will then throw back to you, and you're going to come back to us in 10 minutes or so as these players are coming. I know you've got a short break to take, but we are going to see and stay with this action on the 17th hole, because this is crucial. Two players tied at 17 under par. Joost Luiten with the low round of the day, that's 65, taking the Dutchman up to a third place finish all on his own at 15 under. But he's in the clubhouse. He can't do anything to affect the outcome of this tournament. And Shane Lowry, oh, this is tricky. From a golfer's point of view, Danny, talk us through this one.
It's all about feel and commitment right now. Oh, and he's hit an absolute ripper. That is a great shot from Shane.
A great shot, but as Danny mentioned, a good outcome would have been to 10 feet, and that is exactly how far the ball has rested from the hole. So by no means certain of getting his par. Shane Lowry, what a topsy-turvy day it's been. Birdies, bogeys, the lie was a bit gnarly, and you could see he really took a big swing at that. That was a full backswing Shane Lowry took from just 15 yards.
There was a lot of commitment, and there's a lot of pressure on that shot.
Certainly. 10 feet. Can Richard Stearney improve on that? Can he start to really exert some pressure on his playing partner? Shane Lowry, dressed all in black, except for the white shoes and white cap, the Irishman who has been leading, trying to complete a wire-to-wire victory. We know that's one of the hardest things to do in golf, is to go wire-to-wire. Shane Lowry with that opening 62. What a round of golf that was in fairly benign conditions. We discussed that at length during our sports special broadcast a little bit earlier on. Richard Stearney, 17 under par, wearing all blue. He's looking very tropical, is Richard Stearney.
He is looking very pretty today. And look, I tell you what, Robbie, this chip could possibly go in.
He looks like he should be on holiday in the Caribbean and not playing golf. He's wearing blue, bright blue turquoise trousers, a blue shirt and white cap is Richard Stearney. And he's just marched over to the far side of this flag. He's eyeing this up from every conceivable angle. This is arguably, and each shot from here on in will be, Danny, the most important of the last 6 years for the South African, given what it could mean for the rest of his career.
Absolutely, and this has really come down to just pure match play now. There's only two players really left in the tournament. So, you know, it's going to be a great narrative for one of these two players today.
It certainly is. Whichever way you look at it, we're going to get a tale of redemption, whether it's Stearney or whether it's Lowry. For Stearney, so many injury problems. He's battled arthritis. He last won in February of 2013, just a month short of 6 years ago. So this would be an incredible accomplishment. Out of nowhere, no form coming into this event, nothing to suggest that the South African who's chosen the putter for this shot from off the green would be in the shake-up come the end. But that is golf for you. The putt's on its way, the ball just snaking its way up to the hole. It is a beautifully judged putt, and it's hole side.
Yeah, that's well done. That's really well done from there.
There you go then, Richard Stearney assured of his par. I'm going to have to lower my voice slightly because the rather intimidating form of Ian Poulter is marching towards us. We're just going to stay with Shane Lowry's putt, see if we can establish whether Lowry goes on to stay with Richard Stearney. But wow, what a position for the South African to be in. He is 17 under, he's assured of his par, so he's going to the 18th at 17 under, come what may. Can Lowry stay with him? He's got 10 feet for par. Ian Poulter, and that's the cheer you can hear in the background, acknowledging the cheers of these packed rafters of the hospitality set up here on the right-hand side from our point of view, on the left-hand side as the players walk up the grandstand. This beautiful little flat platform which allows people from behind the green to watch the golf, and the galleries to our side as well, three or four deep on this Saturday afternoon. What an amazing, amazing climax we are approaching in this championship. The 14th edition. It is Stearney at 17 under. Can Shane Lowry level things up? Can he hole that 10-foot putt? We've lost our feed to the big screen. So what we're going to do is we're going to throw back to you guys at Barasti. Do make sure, though, after the break to join us as we give you the finale. We bring you the final moments of the 14th edition of the 2019 Abu Dhabi HSBC Championship presented by EGA. For now, back to you, Tom.
Thanks so much indeed. More from Robbie, Danny, the rest of the team in just a few moments' time. But you come back with news of another goal in the Premier League. Early kickoff between Wolves and Leicester. Mark Archer's watching this one for us.
Yeah, second goal of the match has come after 12 minutes. Wolves were leading 1-0 against Leicester, and it was a corner from the left-hand side. Swung in, and it was a solid hitter past Kasper Schmeichel from the Englishman Ryan Bennett, which doubled the score to 2-0. Currently 18 minutes gone here, but I can tell you Leicester have been fighting back. They've just attacked Wolves continually in the last 5 minutes since conceding that second goal and forced four consecutive corners. And they're still hot on attack now, trying to get back into the match. But it's been Wolves, really, with two clear-cut chances. The first goal by Jota, which was a cross from the right wing, and he prodded in from 6 yards at the back post past Schmeichel, who had no chance. So the Wolves really had two clear-cut chances, have scored, capitalised and scored both their goals with their only real two major attacks there. But they do lead after 18 minutes. Wolverhampton Wanderers 2, Leicester City 0.
So we'll have all the latest from that game. We've got all the latest from other sports. And, of course, these the closing elements, the closing holes of the Abu Dhabi HSBC Championship. A lot, therefore, to stay tuned for. You're listening to The Grill, broadcasting live from Barasti.
This is The Grill, live from Barasti, with more sport, the latest headlines, and top debate on Dubai Eye 103.8.
You are listening to The Grill, broadcasting live from Barasti. We've got a bit of a doubleheader on at the moment. We're up here at Barasti, keeping an eye on a variety of sporting events, including the Premier League. Mark Archer, a couple of goals going there already.
21 minutes gone, and it's Wolverhampton Wanderers 2, Leicester City 0. Goal after 4 minutes for Jota, and then the score was doubled with a solid header from a Wolves corner by Ryan Bennett. Makes the score 2-0, 20 minutes gone. Leicester have fought their way back into the match, but they haven't been able to score a goal to really close the gap there. They've forced four or five consecutive corners. They've been hot on attack, putting pressure on Wolves. But currently, 22 minutes gone. Wolves 2, Leicester City 0.
Keep an eye on that one for you. The round of applause you could hear behind Mark Archer there is not his travelling fan club. That is the fans down on course at the Abu Dhabi Golf Club, which is where we can go now to catch up with Robbie and Danny. Closing stages of this year's tournament.
Certainly is, Tom, and I can tell you we left you on a bit tenterhooks before that little short break, because Shane Lowry had a 10-foot putt to seal a par, which would make sure he would go to this final hole with Richard Stearney level pegging at 17 under. I can reveal that the Irishman was matching the challenge. He was rising to it, and he held that 10-foot putt. And we're watching the tee shots now of these two players as they walk down 18. We're seeing exactly where those balls landed. Two fine tee shots by the look of things. So 17 under, we have never had a playoff here at the Abu Dhabi HSBC Championship, and we could be, Danny Jakubowski, on our way to our first.
Yeah, look, I tell you what, it is looking that way, but more importantly, how's the body language on these two players? I mean, you'd think they'd be a little bit more nervous, but they're springing down the fairway.
They are made of sterner stuff than certainly I. I cannot speak for Danny Jakubowski. I've seen him play golf, and he is a fine golfer. But these guys, quite simply, 17 under par through 17 holes of their fourth round in these conditions. Danny, put it into your own words exactly how impressive this is on a course, let's be honest, which can punish you if you go awry.
Well, the last three or four holes, especially on a day like today, is just it's brutally difficult. And the amount of skill that these guys possess is just, it really is unworldly. And fair credit to them, because this is not an easy golf course and they're posting amazing numbers.
Shane Lowry, growing up, of course, on the links courses of Ireland, no stranger to a breezy day over there. Richard Stearney, likewise, South Africa. Often you get a good blustery wind down in South Africa. So these guys are very used to the conditions here that we're not that used to in Abu Dhabi. Blustery, overcast. It's a little bit grey, if I'm completely honest with you. But that's the conditions that we've got in front of us. And we've got 260, 270 odd yards between these two guys and the Falcon Trophy. 17 under. They are both plumb in the middle of the fairway. We're awaiting these second shots. We saw Ian Poulter, I believe, couple of moments ago, make an eagle. He finished level par on this particular hole to finish his championship at 12 under par. But these two now, 17 under, inseparable. Could we be on our way to the first playoff of this Abu Dhabi HSBC Championship? I always wonder, Danny, by the way, why there aren't more playoffs, because you've got a field of 125 odd starting the week, and yet somehow these 13 tournaments preceding this have always managed to produce a winner outright. Any thoughts or theories on that?
No, you'd think mathematically it'd happen more often, wouldn't you? And because the scoring is traditionally around the same sort of level, too, somewhere between 15 and 20 under. So, yeah, look, I think it's about time, don't you? Playoffs.
I think it could be about time. We might be with you for a little longer than planned. I think the player's back down in the fairway. I can see that turquoise blue figure of Richard Stearney. He is impossible to miss. He sticks out like a sore thumb, does the South African. In the middle of the fairway, he's hit a beautiful drive, has Stearney on this last hole. It's not the easiest fairway. It cambers left to right, does this 18th hole, this par 5. And Richard Stearney exercising perhaps one of these new rules that golf has brought in 2019. Perhaps this is an existing rule, because I think, Danny, he is hampered by a sprinkler head. Nothing untoward.
No, nothing untoward there. I wonder how he's going to exercise his drop, though.
Exactly, yes, because we've seen new rules. And this is bizarre, by the way. Golfers and golf fans who play golf and who listen to this particular show will know that dropping has always been from shoulder height. It is now from knee height, so the player has to bend over a little bit ungainly and drop it from the knee, as we've just seen Richard Stearney do. But he's back. His ball is back in the middle of the fairway. He will be first, I believe, to play. We're still waiting to find out exactly whose turn it is. In fact, I think it could be the ball of Shane Lowry that is slightly further back. So we await these second shots, these all-important second shots. Danny Jakubowski, you've seen this hole birdied, eagled, bogeyed, double bogeyed. What's the key for this second shot from what? These guys have got about 240, 250 yards.
Yeah, I'm working on the assumption that they're both going to take it towards the hospitality stand and fade it in, especially on the wind. I think the big thing here is, if you do miss it right, please miss it in the bunker, because then you've got a better chance of getting up and down. Although they're skilled, so they'll get it up and down from anywhere.
Right, I've established that it will be the man in turquoise. It will be Richard Stearney to go first. He's about 3 yards behind Shane Lowry. So literally, it is a shootout, guys, for this Abu Dhabi HSBC Championship. Both of them perfectly placed in the middle of the fairway. Can Stearney ramp up the pressure on Shane Lowry? He responded to it in fine style on the 17th, rolling in that 10-foot putt. What is going to happen in these next few moments? Richard Stearney, he is now getting ready. He's in the final throes of preparation for this shot. He's standing behind the ball. And just give us an idea, Danny, as to what's going through his mind at the moment.
Just confidence and commitment. I mean, right now he's just got to visualise a shot, pick his line, his target line, and then just trust his swing. That is obviously on form this week.
286 yards, so a little longer than I speculated a moment ago. 286 yards. Lowry has 281. Is that within their range?
Yeah, because the green's about 60 yards deep, so they've probably got about 230 to the front of the green.
Here we go then. Stearney, I think he's cut this a little off to the right. There's a bit of a groan. He's turned around to his caddy. I am ducking because the ball, and I believe that ball has caromed all the way over to the right. The fans just behind us on the right-hand side of this hole have scuttled after it, and it is indeed lying on the cart path. So that's going to be interesting, because, Danny Jakubowski, the pin is cut tight to the right-hand side of this green, which means he's got nothing to work with, Stearney.
He's got very little to work with. He's going to be in some trampled grass, because that's where the galleries have been. The only advantage that he does have is he's going to be hitting his pitch shot back into the breeze, so he might be able to get a little bit of purchase on the pitch.
Here we go then. Shane Lowry, an opportunity to really exert some pressure, and this is a beauty from Shane Lowry. What a beauty from the Irishman. You can hear the cheers of appreciation from the fans there, because from 281 yards, Danny Jakubowski, that is an absolute corker of a shot.
And let me tell you, that was a bullet coming off his 3-wood as well, wasn't it?
It certainly was. That one never got above about 40 feet in the air. He went into the wind all those years practicing on the windy links courses of Ireland, paying dividends there for Shane Lowry. He's in position A. The ball of Richard Stearney over by the cart path. He'll get a drop from that, so he will get relief from that tarmac area. But the grass to the right-hand side, it will leave him almost nothing to work with as he tries to hit a pitch shot, a flop shot over. We're going to have to quieten down, because he's going to be hitting from about 15 yards away from us. But Shane Lowry, to recap, 30 feet left of target, almost pin high. He's hit that one, and we're watching replays of it. What a sweet strike. And a man who was 4 shots back just 6 holes ago, who started the day 3 shots clear, has experienced every single range of emotion en route to potentially winning his first Abu Dhabi HSBC Championship. What on earth is going through his mind as he strolls up to be greeted by the galleries, Danny?
You know, I think right now that obviously he's thinking birdie, but wouldn't it be nice to see him roll it in for an eagle? What a great way to punctuate a victory, because he does deserve it, doesn't he?
We've seen some grandstand finishes here at the Championship before. Are we about to see another one? A playoff, still a distinct possibility. If Richard Stearney can produce a little magic from the right-hand side, that there's been a little parting of the ways as the crowd have moved aside to let Richard Stearney through and locate his ball. He'll get a drop. He'll then have to think long and hard about exactly how he's going to play it, because he's walking up past us now. We're standing by this huge bunker to the right-hand side of this 18th green, this amazing finish. What a scene underneath the Falcon clubhouse. The two decks of hospitality, they stretch a good 70 yards all the way back down this 18th green. Shane Lowry with his caddy taking the lead, and he's now thinking, right, I'm one putt away from certainty. I'm two putts away from potentially lifting the Falcon Trophy.
Absolutely, and I think if you're Richard Stearney, the key now is just don't rush. Take your time, go through your process, pick your line. You know, take the time to walk out and pace it out properly, and I'm sure he will.
There is a gladiatorial feel about this one, make no mistake about it. I can't remember the last time we had two players on the 18th green who were inseparable at this moment. We've always had a leader come up here in the last few years, but this is exciting stuff down here at the Abu Dhabi National Course, and we're going to stay with it all the way through until we know the champion. We know the identity of the man who will be adding his name to a fantastic roll of honour. Martin Keimer's won here three times. Paul Casey's won here twice. Tommy Fleetwood, a two-time winner as well, winning last year and the year before last as well. Richard Stearney has just burrowed his way into the spectators. They've paved a way for him, and he's walked over to where his ball is lying over on the right-hand side of this particular hole. Talk us through this shot from a technical point. Let's get nerdy here, Danny Jakubowski. What's he got and how's he going to play it?
Well, again, I'm looking, it's going to be a flop shot for sure. I mean, a lot will depend on the lie. And again, he's just got to show commitment. Go through the normal process and make sure you keep that, maintain that acceleration through the ball.
I tell you what, I am a rank amateur golfer. I would be absolutely terrified of this particular shot. But then again, I am not one of the top pros on the European Tour. For Richard Stearney, this is the moment. And we're going to hush down now, because he's just going through his figuring out exactly where he's going to drop this. And for him, it's a big decision. I mean, you're following the rules to a point, but this particular drop and getting a good lie and having that opportunity to get the club to the ball, that is equally important as well.
I've got to be honest, Robbie, I'm nervous for him.
This is tense stuff. There is a hush among the thousands that have stayed back here and have flocked into the Abu Dhabi National Course for this final round. A Saturday finish for the first time in history. The first time that we've had a Rolex Series event here in Abu Dhabi as well. So it is potentially a year of firsts. Are we going to see a first playoff? We're going to find out in just a few minutes. Shane Lowry composing himself in the archetypal golf pose of hands on hips, cross-legged, leaning on putter.
I wonder what's going through his mind right now, and it'd be very easy to have, you know, played the round already in your mind. So he's going to have to focus quick, smart, especially if Stearney hits this shot close.
He is going to be, and I'm not sure these guys are probably good pals. He won't be wishing any ill fortune on Richard Stearney, but maybe, just this once, maybe he'll be hoping that the South African hits a less than perfect shot. We've established where the ball is going to be dropped. We're about, I got to say, 30, maybe 40 paces away from where the action is unfolding. It is drama here. There are, at a guess, 6,000-7,000 people surrounding in a big circle around this green, the 18th, under the shadow of the Falcon Clubhouse. And Richard Stearney has made his successful drop. This is it for him. Hasn't won in nearly 6 years. Can this be the moment? Looking at the lie, Danny, and you can see that on the big screen, not a bad lie.
It's a pretty good lie. And look, to be honest, oh, here he goes now. I was wondering why he wasn't pacing it out, but this is going to be the most important thing. Richard, get yourself a number so you can commit to the shot.
The tricky thing is, of course, that he's not able to pace it out in its entirety because there is a bunker right slap bang in the middle of himself and the flagstick. I would suggest there's about 4 or 5 paces on from that bunker, so almost nothing for him to work with. And as good as these guys are, they do need a bit of green in these situations to work their magic.
Yeah, they do. I mean, there's a little bit there, but it's from front to back. I mean, it's a right to left putt from front to back, so he's actually chipping into a slight downslope there, so this is going to require all of his skill and a lot of loft too.
I tell you what, he knew it as well. He looked at the caddy after hitting that second shot, his shoulders just slumped a little, and he thought, that's not the place that I wanted to miss it. He's short-sided himself, has the South African, who's been, again, this battle that we've seen unfold over the last four and a half hours between the Irishman and himself. That fast start from Sterney, I think he was four under through five holes of his final round. Shane Lowry, a slower start. Suddenly, the tables were turned, but Shane Lowry has shown great heart and great grit and great determination to just clamber his way back into this. As we look now, Richard Sterney, we're just moments away from the moment of truth for the South African. He's having another little look. He's moving ahead. He is taking his time on this one, and who can blame him? Shane Lowry, all he can do is watch on and await his turn. Richard Sterney from, I would guess, 45, maybe 50 yards, Danny, going through the motions, about to hit this shot. Here we go then. The ball up in the air. It's lofted. It's high. It's, as we would expect, a little bit long, but not a bad result. He's given himself a chance.
He's given himself a chance. He just couldn't afford to miss this one short at all. So now it's up to Shane, isn't it?
It's one of those ones, yeah, it was like a footballer hitting the ball down the middle of the goal when taking a penalty. He couldn't get cute with it. He couldn't get too adventurous. He's hit it 20, 25 feet beyond the flagstick. So now Shane Lowry has the opportunity to win this championship outright. If this ball drops from 30 feet for the Irishman, he'll be the champion. He'll have experienced the roller coaster, the full one. He'll be a wire-to-wire winner. He'll be a first-time winner in 4 years, will the Irishman. What a moment this is for Shane Lowry. What a way to potentially set up his season, Danny.
And I can tell you, there is a large Irish crowd here who are going to be willing this putt into the hole as well.
Certainly is. Shane Lowry, what can he come up with here? 40-odd feet, and between him and a unlikely but yet miraculous eagle, three. Here he goes. He's over the ball now. Shane Lowry putts on its way. Ball is trickling towards the hole. Is it a good pace? He's backed off it. He has looked at it with a little look of anguish as it drifts by. But I'll tell you, it's a decent effort. The crowd appreciating it. Still a little bit of work to do for Shane Lowry. The tension. You could cut it with a knife, Danny.
I'm getting nervous. I really am. And the prospect of a playoff is getting more exciting. But if Shane's going to win with the birdie, you know, and ride off into the sunset, right?
There we go. That's it. That's it, folks. That's what you want to do. Win with a birdie. I wonder how far. It's difficult from our vantage point to see exactly how far Shane Lowry has for his birdie putt, but I can tell you almost to the foot how far Richard Sterney has. He's got about 20 to 22 feet. By my estimation, I have played far too much golf for my liking, far too much bad golf, Danny, and I can tell you, I wouldn't be able to hold this, but I can tell you how far it is. It's about 20 feet. Richard Sterney, then, make it or miss it.
You know, it's a break that's fairly consistent. It's just about speed now, and with those nerves, I don't know. I'm going to say miss.
There we go then. Richard Sterney, to make things very interesting, if he can pop this in. The ball's on its way. He's looking at it. Is there another twist to this tail? He's walking up away from it and out of it. And there is a big groan from the crowd. That one not going to finish in the cut, but it will be a tap in par for Richard Sterney. So he will complete his championship at 17 under par. What a round. Four birdies in the opening five holes, followed by a bogey. Two more birdies coming back, but two bogeys that could ultimately cost him coming in over the last four holes, and a failure to birdie this one. Now here's the moment of truth. For the first time potentially since August 2015, can Shane Lowry win the Abu Dhabi HSBC Championship presented by EGA? He's got a couple of feet, Danny Jakubowski. He's over the ball now, and I'm going to have to lower my voice because I certainly don't want to be putting off the Irishman. Here we go, and he's done it. Shane Lowry is the champion for 2019, the 14th edition, the first time that it has been a Rolex Series event, and the first time that Shane Lowry has etched his name onto this Falcon Trophy. Massive hug for the caddy. The man in black has done it.
And well deserved too. I mean, that's a good story, a great player, and he's going to have some fun now. Look at this.
His baby daughter has run onto the green. His wife giving him a big hug as well. And what celebrations for the Irishman. A wire-to-wire winner in 2019. He opened up with that scarcely believable 62. He has managed to do the hardest thing in golf. He has won all the way, wire to wire. He's front run, and even though he lost the lead today, Danny, he got it back again. What courage, what guts.
And just great resiliency too. I mean, it's just such a wonderful story to have that adversity mid-round and pull yourself out of it. And what a great birdie to finish to. Well deserved, Shane.
Well deserved, Shane Lowry. Forget the luck of the Irish. There was no luck with that particular victory. Shane Lowry is your 2019 Abu Dhabi HSBC Championship winner. Back to you boys at Barasti.
Thanks so much indeed to you, Robbie, Danny and the rest of the team. Shane Lowry, champion down in Abu Dhabi. We are going to be bringing you bang up to date with all the live sport. And we've got live guests coming your way in just a few moments' time. And, of course, more reflection on that pillar-to-post victory for Shane Lowry down in the nation's capital.
There's just so much more to hear.
Download our podcasts at DubaiEye1038.com.